Well, I guess second good morning to you this morning. Let me ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I think with all that we've already done this morning, our voices being united in worship, coming to the communion table once again as a congregation, having Nathan just share about, all that God is up to in our world today, I hope that our hearts are now both encouraged and prepared to hear from the Lord through His Word once again. And it's, again, kind of a big moment for me because it's my final sermon before I have the honor of preaching before my sabbatical. And I do say before my sabbatical because it gets dark when you're just like, oh, this is your last sermon. It's like, no, before sabbatical. Like, it's like, okay. But I've chosen a passage that I think actually really reflects some of my feelings I have at this moment as a pastor and with my people, because the passage we have there in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it comes at a time when the children of Israel were really looking at starting a new chapter in their walk with God. The 40 years that they spent wandering the desert after escaping Egypt were coming to a close. The promised land lay before them. So it was a time of transition, time of facing unknowns, time of both, I think, looking back to where God had taken them from and we're looking forward to the place God was taking them to. And it's in that moment that God really takes a moment to remind His people of a very important truth. And this would be a truth that would really, it would guide them, it would comfort them, it would empower them for whatever lay ahead. Because the truth that God is giving to His people as they face this moment was to remind them both of who He was and the fact that He was going to be with them. And really, the presence of God in our lives makes a difference. And the passage, it's quite a lengthy passage, and we're going to be jumping around quite a bit this morning, but I want us to really hear this truth in its entirety and let God speak this truth deeply into each of our hearts today. So let me read Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 18 as we begin. And there it says, "The whole commandment that I commanded you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to you to give your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And He humbled you, and He let you hunger, and He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that a man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on your foot, and did your feet did not swell for these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in His ways and by fearing Him. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commands and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and the thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your forefathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, and he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray that, again, you would be with us, and that you are God. And that in this moment, Lord, you would help us remember both of those truths and remember them deeply in our lives. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would be with us as we look into your word, that, Lord, you would open it to our eyes and to our ears and to our hearts, and that, Lord, you would not only have us hear it, but, Lord, you would help us to live in it as well. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with us in our time together. And that, Lord, you would just truly bless us as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've been with us the last few months, you'll know we're doing a series on remembering. We're actually looking at things that the Bible specifically tells us to remember. Like, remember this. And this is actually our final sermon on the subject, but I think it's a very timely one for us, because this is really the reminder about the presence of God in our lives and who he is when he is with us. And Jesus, God promises to be with his people. I mean, Hebrews 13:5, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Great Commission, Jesus tells his followers, Matthew 28:20, behold, I am with you always, always, to the very end of the age. We even have passages like Psalm 23:4, where David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And God's people, I think, need that reminder. The reminder that God is with us. Because sometimes we face challenging circumstances that can kind of creep into our life. And sometimes we can begin to forget that. And facing challenging circumstances, we're actually, I think, right where the children of Israel were when we come to the book of Deuteronomy. Because Deuteronomy, again, was written at a time when the people of God were getting ready to enter and take possession of the promised land. In fact, the entire book of Deuteronomy can, I think, really be seen as one final reminder to God's people of all that God had done and all the expectations that God had and all the promises that he was going to keep. And it was done to reassure them that they weren't going to go alone. But in order to fully sort of embrace and live out the promises of God in their lives moving forward, there were a few things I think they needed to be reminded about when it comes to God being with them and the presence of God in their lives. And those are the lessons we're going to be looking at this morning. And the first lesson I think we learn from this passage is simply the lesson that God cares and provides for his people. We used to sing the song, it's probably a camp song, but like Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. That name is one of the names of God in the Bible. And Jehovah Jireh literally means the Lord will provide. And God shows them this truth in this passage. Verse 3, he talks about feeding them with manna. Verse 4, your clothing didn't wear out on you, and your feet didn't even swell all of those years. Verse 15, he talks about he brought water out of the flinty rock. This passage tells us that God met the basic needs of his people. He gave them bread, food, gave them water to drink, he gave them clothing to wear. Now, that's nothing fancy. Actually, some people might think that only having bread and water is a form of suffering. Isn't that what they feed you in jail? But, I mean, this is not the prosperity gospel happening here. This is not God promising designer clothes, gourmet food, you know, executive housing. This is necessities, not luxuries. And because of that, I think there's sometimes a tendency in our lives to overlook these very simple, very wonderful blessings that God provides. That we have food on our table, we have warm homes, we have clothes. We overlook it. And even worse, I think sometimes we actually begin to stress about them. I found a survey that when asked, it revealed 60% of people report worrying to a moderate level about not having enough money for retirement. 54% of people worry about not being able to pay medical costs if they incur a serious illness or accident. 49% worry about maintaining the standard of living that they currently enjoy. 38% of people worry about not having enough to pay their normal monthly bills. 17% of people report worrying about not being able to make the minimum payments on their credit cards. It's a lot of worry that we have about stuff. And yet, listen to Jesus' words to his disciples about all of these things in the Sermon on the Mount. From Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you can, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." And that is such a great comfort that can be found in knowing that God loves us, God cares for us, and God is providing for his people. And yet God doesn't just provide for our spiritual needs. He also provides for our for our physical needs. He also provides for our spiritual needs as well. And he does that through his leading in our lives. And this is our next lesson we get from this passage. That God's presence also leads and guides his people in knowing how to live and how to walk. Now look at a few more passages from Deuteronomy 8. Verse 1, "The whole commandment that I give you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply." Verse 2, "Remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness." Verse 3, "Know that man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Verse 6, "So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways." So just a few examples, but it's just all of it is a reminder to us that life is to be about more than just stuff. Remember the old bumper sticker some people used to have on their cars that read, you know, "The person with the most toys who dies with the most toys wins." No, that is not true at all. In fact, the person who lives their life with the right purpose isn't the person who wins when they die. It's the person who truly lives. And we gain our purpose in this life in following God and learning to live in obedience to him and his word. So you know what? Just as God guided the people of Israel, he did it by a cloud by day, a pillar of fire at night, and he gave them commands to follow in order to know how to live. He gave them laws so that they would know the difference between right and wrong. He gave them the scriptures, which would show those people how to walk in the ways of the Lord. In the same way, today God continues to guide our lives as we follow Jesus and we seek to live in obedience to his word. And that's what it's about, following Jesus. Jesus himself says, John 10:10, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The old King James used to say, "life abundantly." The New Living Translation says, "a rich and satisfying life." Life in Christ is real living. It's eternal life. Because life is about more than just bread. It's about finding the bread of life. And it's about living on every word, every promise that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because God has so much more in store for his people than we deserve, and more blessings in store for us than we can even imagine. Which actually leads us to the next lesson about God's presence in our lives. And that is that God also is a God who rescues and blesses his people. Let's read from Deuteronomy, beginning in verse 7. Where it says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, of springs, flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of figs, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. So God has just reminded them again how he has rescued them from the life of slavery out of Egypt. And now he takes the time to remind them of just what is in store for them. And standing there at the very threshold of the promised land, that must have been a moment when it felt like their faith was becoming sight. God had led them to the land of promise, the land of their inheritance. They had been rescued. They had been delivered. They were freed from slavery. They were blessed. And they were now taking hold of the promises of God. It's a wonderful moment. But as great as that moment was for the Old Testament children of Israel, I think that moment is still only a foreshadowing of an even greater moment of deliverance and promise for all of God's people. Because Jesus, the Son of God, delivered all of God's people from the bondage of sin and led them into an inheritance of salvation and freedom and life in Christ. Because God rescues and he blesses his people. And Paul even tells us in Ephesians 1, verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And that's exactly what having a relationship with Jesus Christ feels like, that every spiritual blessing is ours. The grace of God, just it floods our life. And his grace is generous beyond all of our expectations. The Bible tells us that in Christ we are beyond condemnation. We will never be abandoned. We're delivered from the power of evil. We're members of God's kingdom. We're justified. We're redeemed. We've been adopted. We have access to God. We have an inheritance that will never fade or spoil or perish. In Christ, we are members of Christ's body. We are bride for the groom. We are dwelling place for God's Holy Spirit. We are God's people. And in Christ, we have eternal life. Because God is a God who knows how to keep his promises, and he rescues and he blesses his people. And that's what, I mean, that's good news. I mean, that's the gospel. And so far, it's a pretty good picture of what life in the presence of God looks like. I mean, God cares for us. God provides for us. He leads us. He guides us on how to live. He rescues us from a life of sin and slavery, and he blesses us with an inheritance and a salvation. So you might think at this point, what could possibly go wrong? Well, a couple of things could go wrong, because there's also a warning that we should heed in these words spoken here. Because I think there's at least two dangers listed here. Two dangers that really can take our eyes off of God and make us miss seeing his presence among us. And the first danger is materialism. Look at verse 11. "Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and statutes, which I commanded you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good homes and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your hearts be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God." That's a real danger. And you know, our society has a problem, and I think it's sometimes we are too blessed. And it doesn't sound like it's a problem, but and it isn't until we begin to put commerce over things like community. We put our possessions before people. We put our stuff before our spirituality. Because when we do, it is hard to see the presence of God in our lives when we're spending all of our time obsessed with our possessions. That's the danger of materialism. And the next danger we see here is like it, except this danger doesn't happen when our homes get too full of stuff. It happens when we get too full of ourselves. Because the second danger is self-centeredness. Look at verse 17 of our passage. "Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hands have gotten me this wealth." You know, when we begin to sort of overlook the role that the Lord has played in our lives, when we have that attitude that says, you know, why should I be thankful when I've earned this stuff myself? I deserve it. I worked for it. Nobody gave it to me. It's mine. I did it. That self-centeredness, that selfishness, I think, again, just so quickly destroys our ability to see God's presence in our lives. But here's the good news. Because the good news is that God loves us too much to let us stay in those dangerous places. Because the next lesson I think God's presence means to our lives is that God also disciplines us. Back to the passage, Deuteronomy 8. Verse 2 says that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart. Verse 3, he humbled you and let you hunger. Verse 5, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. And verse 16 says that he might humble you and test you. But don't miss this part, to do you good in the end. You see, everything that God does is designed for the purpose to draw us closer to him. So you know what? When we wander away in sin, God will find a way to lead us back to him, even if it means sending some difficult times of trial into our lives, even if it means discipline. And that may sound like a strange way to encourage somebody, but it shouldn't be, because God has a purpose for us in all of those trials. And God is using you, even those hardships that we have, he's using all of those things for our good. God uses our trials to keep us close to him. And he does that because he loves us. Because like it or not, you know what? God is more interested in building our character than he is about making us comfortable. And every person today, I think, probably has gone through a trial or two in their lives. And after going through that trial, you know, if I ask you, said, would you like to go through that again? Chances are you'd say no, like never again. But if I ask you, you know, are you grateful for what you learned and experienced as you went through that difficulty, for what it accomplished in your life? Many of you would say, you know what? Yeah, I really am. I wouldn't trade those lessons that I learned. I wouldn't trade the closeness that I found with God when I went through those trials for anything. Because our pain is never pointless. The troubles in life are there to drive us to new depths in our relationship with God. But the key to doing that is the key to enduring those hard times is learning to trust in God in everything. That's really our final lesson we're going to get out of this passage this morning. That God's presence is a reminder of his faithfulness. The final verse of the passage says it all. You shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. I mean, everything that we have, everything we desire, everything we hope for comes from God. And it is God who is the one who is at work in our lives and in this world. It's God who is in control. It's God who keeps his promises. It's God who confirms his covenants. God is the one who is faithful. And God is active in every moment. He's sovereign over our every breath. He's in control of every circumstance. He ordains every second of our lives. Because that's what sovereignty is. That nothing in our lives, no matter how small, escapes his notice. Everything from the number of hairs on our head to the flittering of a sparrow's wings is something that God sees and knows. And there's absolutely nothing in this universe that is outside of God's influence and authority. So it really comes down to learning to trust God in everything. Because we can. We can trust in his character. We can trust in his power. Trust in his wisdom. Plus, trust in the plans that he has made for us. Trust in his promises. And you know, for those of us who believe in God, who believe in the truth of the gospel, who have come to accept Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us upon the cross, to those who follow Jesus and those who have surrendered to him, and seek to live their lives for him, those people can live their lives with the full confidence of knowing that God will be faithful to keep all of his promises to us. And that truth should lead us to a place of surrender. It reminds me of the words of someone once called the world's most dangerous prayer. And I'll give it to you this morning, Because that prayer is simply, God, I surrender. It's, God, use me in any way that you desire. Make me willing to go anywhere you want me to go, to do whatever it is you want me to do, to pay any price you need me to pray. Because I want to be at the center of your will. I want to be where you want me to be. Because I don't want to live without you. I want to invite you into my life, into my relationships, into my business, into my decisions, into everything. And I want to give you the last word. Because I want to stop playing God in my life and start letting you be God. Because it's nothing less than who you are and what you deserve. And that's what God is really calling us to remember this morning. That God is with us in this moment, and he's with us in all of our moments. He's with us when we work, when we play, when we laugh, when we cry, when we mourn. God is present in our present. And because he is there, he cares and he provides for us. He leads us and guides us. He rescues us and saves us. He blesses us and redeems us. He disciplines us and draws us close. And in it all, he is faithful to the end. So I'll end with this encouragement to all of us. Seek to live your life in the presence of God, remembering that he will never leave us or forsake us. Remember that he walks with us in both the sunshine and the dark valleys of our lives. And remember that God will always be with us to the very end of the age. And even then, he will be with us always, because God is a faithful God. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much today for who you are, that you are faithful in all that you do, in all that you are, in all that you've promised to us. And Lord, we are also so eternally grateful that you are also with us. That your Lord, your as your people, your presence and your promises are always before us. We're thankful that you made us your people so that we can experience a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we've taken so much encouragement from your word today. That, Lord, because you are with us and because of who you are, that, Lord, you are our provider. You care for us. You love us. You lead us. You show us how to walk with you. You guide us through your word so we know how to live our lives in obedience to you. At times, you discipline us, but you draw us near to you, even in those difficult times we go through. And, Lord, you rescue us through our salvation, and you bless us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, because we have entered into eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's all because you are faithful. You're faithful in all that you are. You are faithful in all that you do. You're faithful in the promises that you make. And you never fail. And Lord, I pray that we would avoid those dangers in our lives that can draw our eyes away from you, that would make us miss seeing your presence in our life. I pray that, Lord, we would learn to surrender and stay close to you. And that all that we do, all that we are, all that we are becoming, we would remember the Lord our God. And that we would remember that you are with us. And that we would remember that you are faithful as you lead your people. In Jesus' name, amen.